Hi there, I'm James Dapperty, and this is Coffee and a Case Note. Team, today we are going to talk about an application to wind up a bunch of companies related to a marina development and to appoint receivers to the associated trusts. And if all that sounded like a bit of gobbledygook, don't worry, we'll figure it out together. What we have is we have a bunch of companies and trusts that are involved in the development of a marina up in Bundaberg in the state of Queensland here in Australia. As things progress, the sort of 50% interest here, the sort of director and controlling mind of this 50% interest, and the sort of director and controlling mind of this 50% interest have a falling out, and it's sort of uncontroversial between the parties that the relationship has broken down, such that the marina development does not and cannot go ahead because this person and this person who control both sides aren't getting along. That much is accepted by everyone. And so there's a basis for the court to order that the companies involved in this affair, in this venture, as well as the trusts involved, are subject of orders pursuant to section 461 sub 1K of the Corporations Act and related orders in relation to the trusts. So everyone agrees we've got to appoint liquidators to the companies and we've got to appoint receivers to the assets of the various trusts. What is not agreed and what remains an outstanding issue of dispute between these respective parties is the identity of those persons who are to be appointed as liquidators of the companies and as receivers of the assets of the relevant trusts. Normally, when you've got an application of this kind, pursuant to section 461 sub 1K, you get the plaintiff's preference unless the defendant can show some reason not to. And there are things that the court will look at. The court will look at the fitness, look at the independence, look at the CV, and will engage in all these sorts of considerations of the parties that are proposed by each of the relevant litigants. Here, we have the plaintiff putting forward some proposed IPs, insolvency practitioners, and we have the defendants putting forward some proposed IPs, or insolvency practitioners, and we have a discussion of which one is best. One of the issues that arises is cost. And the court takes a look at the hourly rates of the competing IPs and says, it looks like there's actually a significant difference in hourly rates. And it looks to the court like that difference in hourly rates is going to be pretty operative to the amount that's going to be owing or paid off to those IPs at the end of the dispute. And the court says, that's an important thing to take a look at. The next issue the court was taken to by one of the litigants was the relevant IP's experience in relationship to marinas. So what they said was, look, these IP's have dealt with marinas in the past, this matter concerns a marina, and so they ought to be preferred on that marina experience basis. What the court said was, the evidence in relation to that was, to put it gently, very thin, according to the court. There was no evidentiary line drawn between a few entries on a CV regarding marinas and the specific issue here. They said, look, don't really see what this marina experience has to do with this matter. And probably that's particularly relevant where the marina here didn't go ahead. So it's not as if it's an active marina with boats coming in and leaving and all that sort of thing. It's a failed idea at building a marina rather than an active venture that is on foot. And so the marina issue was given very little weight. Another issue given not that much weight was the argument about travel expenses. One set of IPs based in Brisbane, one set of IPs based in Sydney, but with offices in Brisbane, and there's evidence about having staff members in Brisbane. And what the advocates, the litigants in favour of the Brisbane IPs said was, it's a shorter flight, a cheaper flight from Brisbane to Bundaberg, and so there'll be a saving there. And what the court said was, look, the price differentials in flights from Brisbane to Bundaberg versus Sydney to Bundaberg, as well as the possibility that our Sydney IPs might make use of the staff they already have up in Queensland, means that the consideration given to flight cost was a minor consideration. With respect, one of the most weighty and substantive considerations the court engaged in selecting the relevant insolvency practitioners to be liquidators of the companies and receivers of the assets of the various trusts, was perceived independence. Now, importantly, there was no finding at all of any conflict of interest or anything of that kind, no criticism made of any of the practitioners involved. But what the court turned to was the perception of independence that might be a challenge if one set of IPs, one set of insolvency practitioners, was appointed. The reason the court said this perception issue arose was that one set of IPs proposed to rely on advice from advisory consultants in relation to marina stuff. Those advisory consultants were majority shareholders in a potential proposed purchaser of the marina. And so you have this set of IPs who'd be taking advice from a party who has a direct interest in the purchaser of the marina. Now, with the greatest of respect, the parties came before the court and tried to deal with this issue of conflict, and the court, as I say, made no finding of conflict, but said that the perception question that arose because of that relationship meant that the other proposed IPs ought to be preferred. And what happened in this case was the sort of prima facie position that often happens in Section 461 applications, was that the plaintiff got their preferred IPs appointed to the role of liquidator of the relevant companies and receiver of the assets of the various trusts. I hope that discussion assisted you, and I look forward to talking again soon over another coffee and in respect of another case note. Cheers.